mornings at 7. What can you do? Here's something you can do. News Radio 690, KTSM.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, the gang's all here, you know what I'm saying? Hey, Melissa, you here?
I'm back. I limped on in.
Welcome here. You got your kicking foot worked on so you can kick the winning goal at the Super Bowl
tomorrow.
That's right.
I'm all set. Yes.
All there. Well, welcome back. We got all kinds of things going on. Thank Rick Kern for showing up last week and hanging out and doing stuff. And we talked about MacGuffin last week, which was kind of fun.
That was pretty good.
We got another blast of it today in one form or another because we did Radio MacGuffin last week. We're doing TV MacGuffin this week.
That's
so we
right.
will tell you about that. But also, as we always do, we have the only radio show in El Paso I'm aware of that's a live history show. Call in and do stuff.
So.
And you know why El Paso has this kind of show?
Why?
We have this kind of history, and that's the whole point.
That's a good thing.
Well, it is, and somebody should be doing something about it. Why don't we? So here we go.
I think so.
Another live show, 690 a.m. as usual, and also we are the ones who say Texas history begins in El Paso. And if the city of El Paso wanted to use that slogan, we could make a deal.
Hey, you know what a bargain we could make with them, yes.
Well, you know, they're paying the Chamber of Commerce about $99,000 a year for the logo that they use on the side of the police cars.
Really?
That's what I heard.
I didn't know that.
That's what I heard. Bernie didn't know that.
Maybe a quarter of that. What kind of deal could you make them?
Hey, we'll make them a great deal. But the thing is also, we are going to do the broadcast on 690 and the internet and where else?
And, you can go to iHeartRadio.com and also KTSMRadio.com where you can pick us up on the internet and listen to us anywhere in the world you go.
That's getting better, isn't it? A little weird sometimes, but we'll survive out there if you can. Trivia questions? We got that going on?
We got trivia both hours of the show today, and the first caller with the correct trivia answer to the trivia question will have an option today of either a $20 food coupon at Pepe's Mexican Restaurant in Canutillo or an El Paso Gold DVD, of which, we got a whole bunch, but I'm going to just read a few. We've got El Paso Smelter, Ghost Stories 2 and 4, and El Paso's Waco Tanks, and a whole bunch more that Shelly has a selection that she can talk to you about.
We'll make you a deal if you call it.
That's a great way, yeah.
And so, I'm going to lunch at Pepe's today. I don't know about you. Can you make it?
I don't know yet.
Not sure yet.
We'll see how my foot goes.
You ready for this?
Ding, ding, ding. That's right.
Bulletin from Pepe.
Da-da-da-da.
Here is a hot red box, is what he calls it, a Super Bowl special. That's what he wrote. He wrote this thing out. Half a dozen rolled tacos cut in half. That means you got two halves a dozen rolled tacos cut in half.
That's what I do at parties to make
like
it
that.
Go further.
Yeah, cut them in threes. A half dozen green chili cheese tamales, a pint of chili con queso, a pint of refried beans, a pint of taco salsa, a bag of tostadas, $34.95.
Oh, heck.
And that's way off the menu price. And so if you go out to Pepe's today to get it pick up for tomorrow or whatever, $34.95, ask him about the hot red box. Super Bowl X special.
You can't make that stuff for that amount of money.
Plus, it's Pepe.
I know. Well, yeah, it's Pepe's. I mean, it's great.
Some food out there. Okay, you got to
show up at somebody's party with that stuff.
Well, you should. Show up at my party. You got to. Yeah, what's the deal on the history moment?
Well, we're going to be talking about lighting the way for planes at night that were delivering airmail in the early days of aviation.
Oh, they were flying around even though the sun went down.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
And they said, wait a minute. Where's Albuquerque?
Yeah. I can't see it.
Have you seen those markers on the way up to Albuquerque? They have the big ones now. The FAA has them. But in the old days, I think somebody said they found a few of them.
There's a couple out towards off of Montana, somewhere out in the hills out there. And there was one that used to be out by the old raceway. That
they should,
was
they,
out there.
They should keep that and make that a tourist thing.
Oh, I should have a marker.
something.
I don't know if they do. Yeah,
historical marker.
Historical commission, there's something
for
you.
Now, today being what it is.
What is it?
It's February 2nd. It's Groundhog
Day.
And we asked Bernie, did he see his shadow? And the answer is.
I did see my shadow.
Bernie Sargent.
That's right.
Is here, and he saw his shadow.
Good morning.
So is that good or bad? Good morning.
Well, it depends, because if you look at the, well, first of all, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Does anybody know where that is? It's 86 miles northeast of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And you know this because you're one of them.
Yeah, I looked it up.
He's from Erie.
Oh, no, actually, I'm from Erie, so.
Erie. Yeah.
Oh, that's on the other end of the.
Well, no, it's not really too far. We're north of Pittsburgh.
Right.
Or I was north of Pittsburgh.
So Punxsutawney did what he did, and you do what you do. And
yeah,
so,
and they said that we're going to have a nice early a spring, except for, if you look at the last 31 years, he was wrong 17 times.
Well, did you look at the crowd out there in the field there with that gum rodent?
How freaking cold was it back there, too?
My goodness. Jeez. Be real careful how you say
we
that.
We got a rat.
And so the whole idea of that rodent doing his thing, and there must have been 10,000 people out there watching him.
Yeah,
they said that the population of Punxsutawney goes from 5,900 to 10,000.
Oh, that was nuts. So enough of that. See, you saw your shadow this morning here in El Paso, so we're going to have 6 more weeks of history.
That's right.
Ah, there you go.
And starting today.
I like that.
Let's do this. Well, see, the thing is, we always do this. We made up the A to Z, so, yeah. You know, what do you say there?
Well, so in other
Anthony
words,
to Zaragoza.
So in other words, Bernie replaces the marmots we used to have here, which a marmot is what the groundhog is.
Oh.
And El Paso used to have marmots.
Why did we not have any more?
Well, the ice age went away, the cold went away, so they went away.
And the people ate them.
Now, they do have them in northern New Mexico.
Oh.
They just kind of moved north with cold weather.
They didn't eat them all up
so
there.
So Bernie can be our new marmot. Marmot for history.
What is the deal with the marmots? I mean, why is that important?
That's what the animal is. It falls in that family.
I love the name. It's a yellow-bellied marmot.
Well, who is it? Wait a minute now. Did we once upon a time had yellow-bellied marmots as groundhogs here?
Yeah, all the way down to the Chihuahuan Desert.
How would you know that?
Well, look at their belly.
Oh, I see. Just turn them over.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're the guy that told me when the chips are down, the buffalo's empty.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, watch out for this guy. It's Bernie Sargent's in the house.
No, that was during the Ice Age in El Paso.
Okay. Yeah.
Which obviously was a long time ago.
No, we had an Ice Age on February something in 2011.
Oh, yes.
And unlike the people in the rest of the country who get this and they sort of deal with it, we got it and it killed us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was carpet piled high on everybody's front lawn.
Yeah.
All over the place. Remember that?
I do. Our heater went out that day.
Oh, my goodness. And so, and that was just, you know what, 12 hours or 6 hours for us, those people and the other. Hey, if you're from one of those places and you're here in El Paso, or you're from one of those places and just listening to us,
yes,
we're going to hit 70 degrees tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow's 70, so that's how we're going to deal Super Bowl.
Well, they're going to be hitting 50 in some places, I think, in Minnesota and such. Yeah, so they're going to be running around in shorts and T-shirts.
Good luck with that, because it'll next week.
They'll be thawing out.
Back to the A to Z business. I just figured Anthony de Zaragoza kind of covers the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to say A to Z, Bernie, what's going on? So we make up stuff and pick up stuff.
We do.
And do a lot of things. One thing we do need to talk about that's coming up is the, I alluded to it, the MacGoffin Home. We had them in here last week talking
good
about
show
stuff.
Too.
Well, it was fun. Thank you. And then, okay, now we've got them now on television.
Yes, we do.
Tell us about that, what you know about that, Bernard.
The TV thing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, it was interesting because I tried to Facebook a copy of the picture we took when we were all sitting around that table and it was unfolded. Because remember, she said that it hadn't been unfolded since the 90s.
Oh, you mean at the MacGoffin Home,
the
party table?
Home, yes.
The dining room table that looks really tiny until you put 10 leaves in it.
Yeah, and I quick ran back into the office and sent the picture in, but it didn't get her quick enough to show that whole facade when we had that thing opened up.
Guess what you're going to see Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. and 10 p.m. on ABC7. You will see that table, and all you guys in there in great splendor.
You'll see my happy face at the front.
Indeed, and who were you that day? You were Mr. Bassett?
I was Mr. Bassett. Yes. O.T.
O.T. And so that whole thing was amazing, and because it's now more of a museum than it was in the old days of a park.
Oh, yeah.
You don't do food in that room anymore, and so we have the video of probably the last time that table actually had a party.
It is.
And in the old days, the MacGoffins had parties left and right.
There was a place to go. Everybody wanted to go to. They wanted an invite to the MacGoffin Home.
And they got them.
They got them, yeah.
And if you've been, you need to go to the MacGoffin Home, check it out. You'll see it Wednesday night at 6 and 10. We have a 2-minute piece that they cut in half puts one basically, I mean, it's their TV show. They, yeah. they only have it half an hour at 6, a half an hour at 11.
Well, all the other news, they don't have to worry about that.
No, but the thing is, we got it straightened out for them. We very concisely put that together. And that's the hard part,
yeah,
is to try what to leave out. So we had to study the entire subject to figure out what to leave out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to talk about golfing, we can do that. But that's another thing coming up this week. And then beyond that, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to have a piece of history on El Paso History TV on ABC7's newscast.
Where news comes first.
Where news comes, and you have to say that at the right time.
And history yes. comes first.
Well, that's another thing. We'll get to that.
We're working on that.
But the thing is about ABC7, they very kindly did this, and they understand the value of history in El Paso,
yeah.
like we do.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to produce these things, which I'm finding out every day. Why did I take this on? But no, and we're getting them done. And the thing is, you've got McGoffin. Then the following week, we're going to take apart and put back together the subject of why do we have an Indian tribe in El Paso? The Tiguas is yes. the second one. Then the third one's going to be the Indian National Museum of Art. And, boy, that's a bizarrely historic place. You start looking at that.
It is very nice.
And number four in that series coming up over the next 4 weeks will be Concordia.
What?
Concordia.
Concordia.
That's right. Named after a school, not a town, by
Concordia
the way.
To you. Anyway, so we take upon Concordia.
Okay.
Concordia.
I thought you said Pancordia.
Concordia.
Has it bread? Cordia. Okay.
We have Concordia.
I had the occasion to escort a few travel writers from the different magazines and books and so on from around the country. They're coming in this year in the fall, and they wanted to see Concordia. And so I took them out there, and they were just blown away. They just said that was absolutely that's a must-see place for all these travel writers.
They also should show up on one of those days that the people at Concordia, you two included, do the extravaganzas, like the walk through history,
yeah,
or the John Wesley Hardin Secret Society thing,
mm-hmm.
and or the Day of the Dead. And so all of that will be part of what we put into that piece on Concordia.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be here the early part of October, so they'll miss the walk through, which is the third Saturday. But, we might cowboy up and go out there and just show them a good time.
Cowboy up. Well, if anybody could do that, it would be you. Because you guys, people don't know that, you guys are the backbone of the Six Guns and Shady Ladies. You're the ones I've never seen give up.
Well, there's a couple of us. Yeah, we just kind of hung around like a bad habit.
But reenactment, that's hard business, and you don't get paid for this.
No. No, we don't make any money on it. Everything that they pay. You know, the interesting thing, and I'll just get that out. The interesting thing is wherever we go out of town, whenever, we are paid well, the group. And it all goes into a kitty that goes towards our blanks, our insurance, our props. And
your PA system.
Yeah, all that
your
stuff.
Your bar. Once in a while you kill a bar, I'm sure. You have to make another one.
Yeah, we shot a few tables.
Actually, we've had a few people collapse on that bar.
That's what I mean. So you need funding to make another bar because you collapsed the last one.
Or you beat up
the jail or you carry that all around. But the thing is, you guys are doing this basically because you like the history. Why do you do it? I think it's because you like the history. Why do you do this?
It's edutainment.
Uh-huh.
Where we educate and entertain at the same time.
But you've gotten to where you don't have to fall down so much, I hope.
Not me.
Gracefully. He does. He's one in the group that can get down and still get back up.
Get back up.
Without help too much.
You guys could also use a few new members if they were to float around.
Yeah. We did. We have picked up a few new members this year so far. So
it's your same phone number, 581-7920.
Yes, sir.
And you're not going to answer it right now because you're here?
No, it'd be really hard for me to do
that. Leave a message.
Yeah, leave a message. We'll be glad
but
to call
if
back.
You want to get involved in the reenactor business, mm-hmm. I mean, this is volunteer stuff. Just show up.
Well, the thing is that the folks, when they first get involved, some of them go, well, I don't want to have a role. I don't want to do, I just want to be fluff or I just want to be background.
Color.
Yeah, color.
Yeah, they don't want to shoot a gun. You don't have to shoot a gun. You could just be an actor.
Yeah.
You could be shot.
You can be shot
instead of shooting.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's interesting because after a couple of shows, they're going, hey, can I have a role? Can I do something?
Yeah.
So they want to get active, and which is great because I could certainly use a backup for me as John Wesley Hardin. Yeah, 70 years old, you're going to go, well, maybe I don't want to fall so much.
Well, yeah.
But John would have looked like in his 70s if he'd made it.
But well. Can you go out there and cut a hole in the dirt there at Concordia and put in a really nice mattress?
That'd be kind of nice.
And cover it with dirt and say, Bernie falls here. Only Bernie falls here.
With good springs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, look at him get back up.
If anybody has an old waterbed.
Can you imagine doing that? Well, Concordia is like the fourth one we're going to do in this series. Yeah. And we actually taped another one. Where were you and I a week ago Thursday?
Smelter Town.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about Osarco.
Smelter.
Yeah, the smelter. That's not a fish.
No. That's a different thing.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
But this one is the old smelter. And what you and I were doing was hanging out at that admin building.
Yeah.
And people need to understand, as you drive by in the freeway, you look over there, there's one building left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the very first building they ever built.
Yeah.
That is so bizarre to realize that.
It is bizarre, especially we've seen it many years now because we saw it long before they tore it down and actually saw when they used the inside for Glory Road.
That's true.
They had the stencils on the windows.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have got two of those doors.
Do you?
The third one, I know who has it, but they had Haskins had a door in Glory Road in his office, and they used the old piece of the smelter, as you're saying, for the offices in the movie.
Yeah.
Because they were that era. I mean, the old smelter offices were built in the 40s, it looked like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they had, that was really kind of neat.
Yeah.
So we've got two of the doors. I know who's got the third one. It was a Haskins. There was a manager of the athletics department.
Yeah.
And all those guys had those little funky offices. We hung out in there for years as they were tearing the place down. Then they finally tore those down.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, we got to see some of the artifacts that they had collected, most of which went over to Tucson to their facility over there for their little museum that they have.
Oh, there's a lot of history at ASARCO to talk about, but that'll be another one we've got coming up.
Did they take that panel of the rings?
I think that's still up there. That's pretty cool.
What rings?
Would they miss that?
It's kind of, it looks like circles.
It's copper.
Where is it?
When you first walked in the building, the standing building, the building is still there.
You go right inside the door on the left side.
It was
like
a divider panel.
Oh,
I walked in and went.
Let's go look at that. Anyway, that's what we got.
But
coming
I think one of the things that the folks will enjoy seeing is, you know, we were talking about the stacks. Yeah, we'll show them the base, how big it was, and then we also show them where it actually fell, where the end of it was.
Oh yeah, we went 828 feet away to where it hit, and you know they missed their mark by about 200 feet.
Oops!
Can you imagine trying to do that? Let's get a do over. I don't think so.
Yeah. They would make terrible lumberjacks.
No, man.
Let's move the cameras over here 200 feet.
Oh. Well, what they had was they had a berm around the whole thing to sort of contain debris as it hit. And they on top of the berm, they had all these big water cannons. Mm-hmm. They took out a water cannon on the berm as the thing came down. Like, oh, well.
Whoops.
At least it kind of went where they thought it was going to.
Yeah, well, it stayed, yeah.
There's another whole story behind that. We got to take a break, however. Bernard Sargent is in the house. Do we do trivia questions? Did we make up enough stuff to do trivia questions out of?
Not yet. Well, on the second one, we did a first. Yeah, we worked on the first one. Not the second one, though.
I'll tell you what. Let the second question be open, and they can ask us a question. Ask Bernie.
Yeah, we'll do a say. Yeah,
look at that. In control room, they like that idea. They think that's funny. Yeah, because we always get stumped. But anyway.
Yeah, give us a second trivia question. The first one we did, but a second one I need.
Well, read the first one, because we're on radio right now telling these people out here in Radio Land.
Okay.
Read the first one.
The first one is for a $20 in food coupons for Pepe's and Canutillo or an El Paso Gold DVD. True or false question, did El Paso at one time have groundhogs or marmots, which is the scientific name for the groundhog?
Oh, you mean a hedgehog? No.
A hedgehog.
That's a
hedgehog? They stay above ground. Groundhogs go underground.
They're underground. Okay.
Yes.
Enough of that.
Is it true or false?
And question number two is
comes from Bernardo.
And don't answer the question because the people out there are supposed to answer the question by calling
us
on the phone.
Yes.
And the second question will be something they ask us.
Either that or we can talk about it after we come back from the break.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you're going to go there. Either way, we'll make up something, but they can call us on the phone.
This is something that came up on the Facebook the other day.
Okay.
Well, it's required that they ring us up on the phone.
Yeah. Okay, but they got to call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
The average smoker tries to quit up to 30 times, and many are looking for an alternative. Juul was designed by smokers, for smokers, to be a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Juul is a vapor product that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. If you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's J-U-U-L.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
College is challenging, but the finances don't have to be.
With STARS Scholarship, I was able to pursue my dream and go to Incarnate.
The STARS Scholarship application was just fairly quick and simple. You know, you're not going to break your back trying to fill out this application.
From your bachelor's to your doctorate, STARS can help you get there.
My advice would be to talk to your counselor today and apply as soon as possible.
As students, we all want to wear that cap and gown. So, don't wait. Apply now.
Start your application today. Go to starsscholarship.org.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, we got a lot of stuff to tell you about. Callers coming in, 544-5876. The line is open. Six. The line is open. Bernie's here.
Yes.
Bernie's going to talk to people.
Yes.
Or not. And so, hey, well, I got to tell you some stuff first, though. Today is a biggie. Speaking of Concordia, they got Jim Tolbert out there helping lead a parade. Let's see, 1 o'clock to 2:30. They're having a major history walk through Concordia, and it's part of Celebration El Paso History by Jim Tolbert. He does the Celebration of the Mountains, so now he's celebrating history. Today's out there at Concordia. 3700 East Yandell, enter via the Stevens Gate. Call Diego for a good time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Diego Tolbert. Actually, email him, diegotolbert@gmail.com. And the website is celebrateelpasohistory.org. It's a free admission. They'd like you to donate to Concordia if you could. Before or after, go eat at L&J and have a nice time. Other things going on. Saturday, February the 9th, at the Good Samaritan Terrace in Las Cruces, you can hear Brian Halstead discuss projectile points on the Cañada Alamosa frontier. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Projectiles, they hurt.
Okay, I've been to Canada.
Kenyatta. No. You got the Inya over the
Inya.
You hold
your nose and go Inya, so you get
Kenyatta Alamosa Front. It's a free lecture. They recovered more than 600 projectile points. Must have been a heck of a battle. But they cover 4,000 years of occupation. So, but that's happening up there. And you know where Kenyatta Alamosa is?
Yes, it's in New Mexico.
It is in the middle of the state. That's as you drive north to Albuquerque.
There's a little left thing
that thinks you're going to get to Canada. You're not.
It seems like it.
But they found that's basically where the Warm Springs Apaches hung out.
Yeah.
And I went up in there one time, and there's a huge gushing thing coming out of the ground where it starts this stream. And it's hot water.
Well, yeah.
It's amazing how...
Truth or Consequences and all that area up there with the springs.
Lots of stuff. Anyway, also, the Missing Pattersons. I want to thank Paul Whitler Graphic Design, 581-7054. He's been doing Missing Pattersons for us. I think I'm going to take it over now, but that's a good thing out there. Also, El Paso History on TV was on ABC, and all four of those aired in November. We got more coming up here, Bernie. You getting excited about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been fun doing it, and I'm looking forward to coming up with a whole new series. So if listeners out there have any ideas on what they'd like to see on TV, watch it first, and then give us a call.
And that's on Wednesday, February the 6th. At 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. Also, Amigos is back open.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that.
Yay.
It's a very historic restaurant. And Hooky Apodaca down there. Go see Hooky and tell him the radio people talked about him.
Yeah, he's a neat guy. He's a sweetheart.
Well, if we do this right, maybe he'll become an advertiser. So
We had a very nice lunch over there.
We did. One walk east of Cotton. And also, save the date for annual Poppy Festival, March 23rd, 2019. So that's what I got. So you were going to say something else about another trivia thought.
Oh, yes, yes. For those of folks that pay attention to our Facebook pages, you know, the one with Barbara Bainey Gibbons.
And, yes, remember in El Paso when?
Yeah. The question came up or a comment came up about a news writer back in the day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Peggy Hull. And she had come to El Paso when Columbus was raided by Pancho Villa and began writing for two of the local newspapers and became a journalist, a writer, and she did that for a better part of a year and a half, became fairly well known with General Pershing. So when Pershing went over to France, she managed to get herself over there and become a reporter over there. Now, there was a giant pushback from the male reporters.
Of course.
They didn't think a female should be accredited and
no
recognized.
No place for a woman?
I know, no place for a woman.
Ooh.
But fortunately for her, she had connections with the military, and they liked what she did. Liked her reporting. She was given accolades by folks that served over there for her accurate reporting and the fact that they felt that she was doing things and reporting things in such a way that the folks back in the States could understand them and appreciate and respect what the military was doing over in Europe during World War One. So it's a very interesting story about Peggy Hull, and just an incredible individual, nice woman. And I thank Barbara for posting that. And there's some pictures that were available, so we've saved that. But I think that's one of the many women that have had an influence on El Paso and the Southwest that we really need to talk more about.
Also, yes. We're going to get into Mr. Serna.
Yes, we'll be talking about Marcelino Serna.
In his next half hour.
Amazing,
we got
man.
You here till noonish, and we'll talk about – and how do you say his first name?
Marcelino.
Marcelino.
Yeah.
Probably Marcelino. Marcelino.
All right, taking one more break here, Sergio. Is that correct? Trivia is still outstanding. Call us if you need to.
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts GROW to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text GROW to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. GROW to 85850.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com. The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Ressler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Paul.
Something that you didn't let me do.
Hello.
Hello there.
Did you have something to do?
I have something to do.
Well, you don't
hello
want to
there,
go?
Everyone.
Well, now we did. That's right. We just went right into trivia, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, we did.
What do you got? Go ahead.
Okay. What I have is we're going to be talking about movies today. The Sunset Film Society. Mark your 2019 calendar for Saturdays for the Sunset Heights Film Society and their film program that's shown every Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. inside the International Museum of Art on Montana and Brown Streets. February looks to be a month of romance films. And this Saturday, today at 2 p.m., the movie is Casablanca with Bogart and Bacall. How much more romantic can you get than that one? Play it again, Sam. Each film is hosted by El Paso film expert Jay Duncan, who will share trivia about each film that they present. And also available for purchase, the best freshly popped theater popcorn, beverages, candy, and snacks. They'll be up for sale. And then this is, like I said, next Saturday, they're going to have Brief Encounter, the original one, 1945, which is a great film. And they've got more coming up this month we'll mention each week. But definitely get down there. It's a wonderful place to spend Saturday afternoons.
It's a nice place, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's one of
free.
Our featured folks coming up at our ABC7 stuff. That'll be kind of interesting to see what people think of that, because we found stuff in the nooks and crannies of that building most people don't know about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Pancho Villa's sitting down there.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Well, yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. His death mask.
He's a stiff.
That's kind of a bizarre thing to encounter, the Pancho Villa desk mask. Like, oh, yo, dude, you don't look too good.
Yeah.
But, you know, Can you imagine being the guy who went up and painted that on him to make it when he died?
That used to be quite the business.
What kind of job was that?
People were dying to do it.
Yeah, rib and shot for Bernie.
The other day I was giving a tour for a couple of folks, the leadership of the Rotary Clubs out of Keystone, and one of the gentlemen that was there had a picture that his mother took, believed to be the first picture of Pancho Villa in the sedan after he was killed, because she was playing tennis just adjacent to where the shooting took place. She said she heard Viva Villa and a lot of gunfire and ran in the direction of the gunfire. Most people would go the other way, but she ran in that direction and happened to get a picture taken. So it was like, whew. He showed it to me. I was, whoa, that's pretty eerie.
All right, what other history can we have here today, Bernie? A to Z.
A to Z? Well, you know what? Let me do something really quick. I want to commend Joe Nebhan. He and I were just recently appointed to voted on to the Texas Historical Foundation.
Yay!
We are the first two from West Texas to be on the foundation.
Does that include Lubbock?
That includes Lubbock. Well, Lubbock has a person.
Oh, see, but see, Lubbock's never been in West Texas.
We're in West Texas.
I just want to hit that line.
Yeah, and in fact, during the talk that I had the day that they did the voting, I mentioned to them, I said, yes, I'm really pleased to represent West Texas, truly West Texas.
Yes.
Not Lubbock, not Midland, not Odessa, West Texas. And they kind of got a kick out of that because, you know, people, they don't, we were talking about geography before the show started. People don't understand there is a West Texas.
Well, yeah, but people in Dallas think anything to the left is west.
Anything west
or
of
north is west. You know, to those people,
look in that direction. Oh. That's where the sun goes down.
Well, but we still get them every time.
Yeah,
because Texas history begins in El Paso.
Yeah, and you can't get any farther west in Texas than El Paso.
That's another matter.
It's a great organization whose mandate is to fund and educate Texans through endowments and grants. And every quarter we meet, we pick out some nominees from the grant applications, and then we provide some funds for these people. And I'm very excited to be on it, and very excited to represent West Texas.
Who can apply for that stuff?
Anybody can apply.
But for what? I mean, would a historical society or a filmmaker?
There's nine different categories that they can apply for. Things like they have one for legal history in Texas. They have one for archaeology in Texas, one for architecture in Texas.
Education
in Texas.
How well-funded are these people?
Very well.
So if you went down there for a $100,000 grant and it was really good, would they do it?
No, not that much.
$20,000.
They allot themselves like $25,000 every quarter to give out.
Okay. I mean, it's not huge, but they have the funding to last a while, is what we're saying.
So if you want to do something really cool and small, they might fund it.
Oh, absolutely. And you can go back again.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have done that. There's an archaeological site just outside of Georgetown that we went to visit that dates back between 18 and 21,000 years ago.
Whoa.
I know, the Galt site. And we got a tour of that. Just absolutely fascinating.
How did they date that?
Very carefully.
Carbon dating?
Yeah. What they did is, they found it by accident. They just saw some, like we did at Keystone, they found some shards and they did some carbon dating on it. And then they said, well, let's dig a little bit further. And what had happened is the gentleman that owned the property was going to build on it. This is quite a few years ago.
Oh, my.
And he stuck a fork in the ground, so to speak, and went, whoa, what's this? And fortunately, he contacted some folks to come out and look at it. And over the years, it's gone. Yeah, my mic keeps dropping.
There you are. You're back. Okay.
Over the years, what has happened is there's been several owners, but fortunately for the foundations and the archaeologists, the owners have said, yeah, we want to do something with this land more constructive than just putting buildings on it. So they've done that. And we got to see some of the places where the pits were that they dug. And they literally dig with bamboo shoots so they don't damage any of the stuff underground. But can you imagine 18 to 21,000 years old?
That's pretty old.
Yeah, I know.
There's something supposedly like that out there on the Otero Mesa in southern New Mexico by Oro Grande.
Yeah.
The cave out there supposedly has middens that are that old.
Well, they're close to that old. This is so far the oldest.
How about that?
Yeah, it's pretty neat, though. And it was fun talking to the doctor who is in charge of that whole thing. He is also a member of the foundation. And we got to chat with him about Keystone. He hadn't heard about Keystone, so now he has.
Yes.
So is this the Texas Historical Commission?
No.
It has nothing to do with them?
No, it doesn't.
They've been around since 53?
53 is when they started.
Texas
Historical Foundation.
Okay. And so where do they get their money?
It's donations. While I was there, there were two members. Now, a lot of these members, they've done quite well. One gentleman who I was talking with, who is a relative of General Sibley from the Confederate War, during the meeting donated $100,000.
Oh, yeah. See, there's the guy I want to sit next to.
Yeah, I know.
Want to adopt a child?
Yes. Yeah.
An old child?
He's younger than me, but hey, I'd let him adopt me.
Oh, yeah.
And then one lady, her husband passed away. They were both members of the foundation a few months ago, and she donated $50,000 while we were there.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's some folks with the substantial background.
So you and Joe took your donation, and you dropped off two bags of pecans.
I gave him a $20 gift certificate for Pepe's.
There you go.
It wasn't pecans?
No, and a video.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I was hawking the videos over there, sharing them with what we're doing now on ABC, as well as the videos you have.
What did they think of the stuff on ABC7? Did they get the idea of what we're doing?
Oh, they were thrilled. We're the only ones doing something like that. We're the only ones that have been able to get a local or affiliate to broadcast on a regular basis anything like this.
And you know why? It's because Kevin Lovell understands all
this. Yeah, it's great.
He knows exactly how good history is in this town and what it can do for his audience.
And also you have a channel like KTSM, which is an iHeart affiliate, which actually puts us out beyond El Paso.
Oh, you mean the radio? Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, radio, yeah. So you've got that, too. I mean, we're one of the few that does things
What do they say when you tell them we're doing this in El Paso?
Well, I told them the four things. You got Capstone with the videos, the DVDs. We've got the ABC broadcast that we're doing. We've got the radio show every Saturday morning. We've got the history moments. I said, all this stuff, we're just piling history on people, and they're just amazed.
Well, do they have the same problem in that in other areas of Texas they don't teach local history?
Oh,
much?
Absolutely. We talked about that because, one of the things, one of the grants that was requested had to do with education, and it was not written the way it should have been written. If it had been done correctly, they probably would have got the grant. But my comment to them in the open meeting after I was actually elected, it was, we're trying to reach out to millennials and Gen X's and Gen Z's. We're not going to do it if we keep hiding this information from them. We have to use social media. We have to reach out to them, and we have to make them feel like they're part of the process. Otherwise, they just go away. So I was really hawking the fact that the younger folk need to be involved with this. They need to know about it. And all of the classrooms have to have the opportunity to at least learn something. I know Jackson's put the videos, made them available to the Region 19. We're also talking with, for instance, we're working very closely with Eastwood High School on the Blue Whistler Cannon. Again, just to get the kids excited about, this was history. This was El Paso. Let's own it, let's glean it, and let's develop it going forward.
And you also have to send it to them in a form they can understand, which right now you can get all the pieces we've done for ABC7. You can get them on your phone.
Yeah, very.
And take a look at them.
And it's only 2 minutes. So, it's not a big deal. It's going to eat up a lot of memory, and it's not one of those things where when you're talking with them, their eyes glaze over. I had this last week also, I had 49 kids from Travis Elementary School at Keystone. And, they're fifth graders. And I asked all of them on the bus before they got off. I usually introduce myself, talk a little bit to them about that, kind of find out what they want to see and so on. And I asked them, I said, how many of you know what Travis Elementary School was named after? Two kids.
Two?
Two. And I said, well, next trip, we'll talk about Travis, Colonel Travis, and all the people that surrounded him. But right now, we're going to talk about other things at Keystone. So it was great because the kids loved it. They had a great time out there.
Well, if you do this right, and what we're talking about is educating our youth, basically.
Yeah.
And since our elders weren't educated, let's educate them too. But what is El Paso history? What can you do about it? And what you can do about it is talk to people about it.
Sure.
And so, I give the example. I left town, came back, and I had no more knowledge of El Paso before I left and came back than in anything.
Yeah.
So when I showed back up here as an older person, I said, what actually happened here? So I started getting into it. And the first thing I saw, you're on TV. There's Bernie Sargent on TV and a developer all mad that these people were trying to stop his building of warehouses.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is all this?
Mm-hmm.
It's an archaeological village. It's 5,000 years old, give or take.
We stirred it up.
Well, not only that, I went over to one of your meetings and said, okay, I remember I saw you on TV. What's the deal here? And you guys said, well, we're going to create a fund and buy it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Oh, then I'm in. And so we made a TV show, and it helped a little bit get the word out about what that was, and away we went. Mm-hmm. But I think if you don't do television, you're missing a bet, and now TV comes up on your phone. Okay, make it on your phone then.
Sure.
And that's what these little pieces we're doing now for ABC7. I mean, we're going to have a whole bunch of them by the time we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at all those, they can be used as curriculum. They can just be used as a conversation. There's a lot that we can do.
Well, let's see. Right now in the schools, they dedicate what grade? Fourth and seventh grade for history.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish they could do it like a tiered approach as to history. First, starting with your hometown, then maybe on a regional level and then in a state level and build that historical pride in the kids and not only their hometown, their region, and also in the state. Because then you build that pride in kids. Yeah. You know, I think that would be
that
a great thing.
That makes too much sense.
I know.
The money comes
I'm
from the
so
state.
Sorry.
The direction comes from the state. And the curriculum is the state.
Well, yes
and
no.
That's how
it
works.
No. Yes and no. You do have some input on the school board levels, too, and also in the regional. There's ways of doing that. It's just you've got people that have got to get beyond the educators to do that. And that takes parental involvement.
Okay,
and that's the hard thing.
That's true. But also one thing we could do in our little private world here, maybe we'll just figure this out, go for some grant money and do it. And make some materials that kids can take into the schools and look at. Mm-hmm. That was the whole idea of the videos.
Yeah.
So now maybe we put some curriculum together and go for it. I know the Tom Lee Institute, we talked about this, they are now putting things into schools.
Yeah.
And they're writing the curriculum and going in talking to teacher kind of thing. I don't have anybody that I'm close to that can do that. But if somebody's available who knows what I'm talking about, I'd be glad to help them head information toward the schools. So that we can learn who we are here.
Yeah, it has to be driven top down. It can't be, you know, the teachers are so adept and so concentrating on those form tests that they have to submit to, you know, to the state.
Well, they're given orders.
Yeah.
And this stuff is not in the orders.
Yeah. And so we've got to work with the school boards. We've got to work with Region 19 and we've got to work with the parents and have the parents, like you say, some of the stuff we're doing with the Keystone site, for instance, is we're providing paperwork and so on for the kids to take home, just easy stuff to read so that they can maybe fuel some interest in their parents and bring the parents back. And it's something we were doing with the County Historic Commission a few years ago as we were creating information that would entice the kids to go somewhere to see a site but also take their parents with them.
Yeah, we put the GPS on all those sites. Yeah.
And I've run into parents that have gone out with their kids to Keystone and some other places, Concordia and such, and they're just like, I had no idea. And all of a sudden you get the parents excited.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they start getting involved. And then that's what we need to do. You know, it's more programs like that. But again, a lot of it takes to get the parents' initiative.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get them off the couch.
Hey, cool. So we'll stir them up as best
that's right.
That's why we talk about History Day over at UTEP. It's coming up on February 23rd.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And we're looking to have parents and grandparents now volunteer to get over there and help run the thing. Because it's like a science fair, but it's history.
It's history.
So they pick a topic and they have all kinds of subjects. And even though it may or may not be totally El Paso, it is totally history. So
you know what's fun about that too, Jackson, is I've been involved as a judge for a few years. And some of these kids dig stuff up. I had no idea. So it's learning for the adults as well as the kids.
And also, if you do it right, you can have a kid go dig up something in their family archives that nobody knew.
Sure.
And present that out. Like, oh, yeah, granddad did what? Oh, looky here. And then we all get to share that.
So. Well, in doing my family tree, I found a gentleman by the name of Menifee that came to Texas in 1820s. And so I've got roots back to early Texas when Austin came in.
Stephen that's way Austin. Back.
That is way back. Yeah, that's back before I was born.
Even then.
Mm-hmm. So now we're taking over Texas.
You betcha.
The Menards and the Menifees.
There you go.
There you go.
And in New Mexico, look out. Here they come.
We'll start Montezuma all over again.
No, we got enough of that.
The Menifee revenge.
There you go.
Well, that's a lot. That's an interesting thing you're doing because it takes the initiative of someone like yourself and Joe Nevan to get up and go drive over there.
Yeah, it's a long drive.
And get involved because that's a day drive just to go be a historical guy.
8.5 hours one way. Yeah, but it was fun. It was worth it. I enjoyed it. Hey, by the way, I wanted to mention something. The city's going to be getting an award. There is a program in Texas called the Texas Legacy Park Program.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and what they do is they look for nominations of parks that are over 50 years old that have some historical significance to communities around Texas.
I know one.
Which one?
Downtown.
San Jacinto.
San Jacinto.
Yeah. I was asked to help them write that one a few years ago, and they got that. I found out yesterday that Memorial Park is getting one, and I was involved with writing that also.
Cool.
So they're going to be awarding the city Parks and Recreation Department in 3 weeks the Legacy Star program.
And who does the award?
The state of Texas. It's State Parks and Rec.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So they get to put a big old banner up and all that kind of stuff. So it's neat, but it's also an opportunity for El Paso to learn more about a specific park and then share that information as well as with the rest of the state because they have a great website that shows all the legacy parks throughout the state and they give a little history bio on it.
Well, we can make some headway in promoting El Paso by doing things like that.
Yeah.
But every state, every city in the state has parks.
Oh, yeah.
But not every city in the state has the history we have.
No.
And that's what we're doing wrong. We're not pushing the history that we do have that nobody else has. I mean, you could have Mexican Revolution tours here that would just blow people's minds because of what happened here. They were training here. Mm-hmm. They were buying the goods for the Mexican Revolution. They were figuring out what to do and what battles. They were planning all that in downtown El Paso.
Publishing newspapers.
That's amazing. So that's just one aspect of it. So there's so many pieces of El Paso history that really could be promoted uniquely. Mm-hmm. Everybody has railroads, but nobody has as many railroads as we do.
No.
In fact, it was
interesting because most people have heard the name Nellie Bly. That was her pen name. She was very well known back in the 1870s and 80s and 90s. She was in El Paso, actually stayed in what was Paso del Norte for a few hours waiting for a train to go to Mexico City, and in the process had some time to kill, so she came across the border. And she wrote a little expose about what she saw and did in El Paso and in what is now Juarez. And she had mentioned that she thought that El Paso would be just as big and just as busy as Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
And this was 1888.
Yeah. Well, it could have been.
Yeah. It had all the potential.
I think some founding fathers didn't want that to happen.
It got kind of crazy.
No, anyway, I don't think that was it. I don't think they didn't want it to happen. I think there were just many things that they kind of like tried to and overdid themselves.
Well, their ideas of control didn't help the growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life goes on, and so does the next commercial break. We shall take that now and call us if you need to, and or Facebook.
They can Facebook us at 915. No, the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page.
Hey, are we done with this?
Yeah, we're done with this right
now. Okay, hit the button.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
When I had my brother take me places, it was always like, we have to get there early so I can smoke a cigarette before we go inside. I'm in pain. I'm a little sister.
We always have to stop for cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Get up first thing, smoke a cigarette. Before lunch, after lunch, another one on the way home, before dinner, after dinner. Now that I'm talking about it, I'm kind of feeling like I've lost about 4 hours of every day.
I didn't realize it was that much.
Yeah, I know. I decided I needed to find an alternative. So I started looking, and then Juul came up. I did both for a while. And eventually I just switched over, and it's very quick. I honestly feel like I remember recently you asking me, like, did you want to smoke before we go in? And I was like, no, I don't need to.
Mimi made the switch July 2015. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's Juul.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Cold and flu season hits hard, especially for the millions living with heart disease, asthma, or cancer. A fever can be a sign of the flu and a trip to the ER. Hospitals prefer the Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Backed by more than 70 clinical studies, it's the best way to stay safe this season.
130. Just another number, right?
Think again. It can mean all sorts of bad things. Swimming is great, but swimming with 130 sharks is a bad idea. 130 is too much of a lot of things, and it's too high for blood pressure. A blood pressure reading of 130 over 80 or higher means you're more likely to have a stroke or heart attack. Visit heart.org/HBP to find out more about controlling your blood pressure.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com. For DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
We should take care of the important things first. Bernie, what's the special at Pepe's today? Use the microphone over here.
I'm concentrating.
Oh, you're thinking about it. Okay, well, Bernie, we'll get to Bernie.
Kill a couple of seconds here. Let me look at this.
In the meantime, should we do the history lessons?
Yes, we can.
We have history lessons from the Harvey girls. They're going to meet Monday, February the 11th at 2 p.m. at the Union Passenger Station, Depot.
Depot.
Meet down there at Depot. But it's a history of railroad police protecting passengers and freight by Woody Bear. And he knows his stuff. He's a train kind of guy.
Oh, he's good.
591-2326 on that one. Same number for this one, Southwest Chapter Railway Locomotive Historical Society. They're going to meet on Wednesday, February 13th at 6 at the restaurant. So you can get some food there, but you got to buy it yourself. El Serape at 5103 Montana. History of Relocated 1880s Express Car. They got that big car they just reclaimed from somewhere. And the visitors are welcome, 591-2326.
Well, I've got the El Paso Corral of the Westerners International. We'll meet Friday, February 15th at 6 p.m. at the Holiday Inn at Sunland Park and I-10. And their program is going to be put on by Smeltertown Archaeology and History. And this is going to be a good program by Mark Howe, big fan of the show and also one of our lunch guests up there at Pepe's. And
he's back to work now, too.
Oh, he's back to work. Yeah. That's right.
He's a Fed dude.
That's right. And dinner and program are only $20. And if you want to make a reservation, call 759-9538. And then you have Club Friendship, which will meet Tuesday, February 26th at St. Paul's Methodist Church on Edgemere. And that'll be at 11 a.m. And their program is Black History in the Southwest. And their luncheon and program cost is only $10. And you can call 591-2326 to make reservations for that.
A lot going on there. We got somebody on the phone. We'll talk about the McGoffin. His name is Bud. Hey, Bud, how's it going?
Hello, pretty good. How you doing? Good.
Surviving night. Nicely. What's
good
up?
Good morning.
Well, I wanted to speak to Melissa about something, you know, about the Trosh family.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, Melissa. I was good friends with a Trost, his name was Victor Trost, back in 1957, and I was wondering if he was still alive.
Victor, call us if you're out there.
Was he approximately your age, or?
Well, he'd be in his 80s.
Okay, I could check on that. That might have been...
Well, ask the relative in Arizona.
Margaret,
Margaret would know.
Margaret might even be listening.
One of her cousins, maybe.
Yeah, might have been a cousin of hers or an uncle. Something.
Yeah.
I can check with her.
Well, he told me that he was related to the Henry C. Trost family, and I had no idea who the Trost family was at the time.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, he was a pretty good friend of mine, and I also had run into him here in El Paso in 1965. And I think he was living in California, but I'm not sure.
Okay, well,
we'll check it out.
I'll check it with Margaret Smith. She does the family history on the Trost, and I'll check with her, and I'll get back to you either if I can get an answer today. If not, one of the other shows, I'll make sure you listen, and I'll try to get that answer for you.
Well, either next week sometime you could call me, I guess. It'd be all right.
All right, hold on. We'll get your phone number. Shelly will take it off. Thank you for calling, by the way.
Thanks for listening, too, Bud.
You bet. I've been listening to this show since the Leon Metz days.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're still going.
Enjoy it immensely.
Thanks. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bud.
You take it. Hold on now.
Do you have my phone number?
We're about to give it to Shelly. Hold on.
Don't hang up.
I'll give it to Shelly. Hold on. Okay, got him on hold there. Got him corralled. He's ready to go. He's ready to talk to Shelly. And we're about to go on a break and come back afterwards. Marcelino
Serna.
Did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay, that's next hour. We're going to talk about that.
And it's the all-meat chili bowl.
All-meat. You mean Pepe's?
Yes.
Ooh, what was that on the front page?
No, it's on the back page.
Ooh. How much is it normally?
Normally $7.95.
Oh, you saved him $1.95.
Yes, I did.
It's $6 today.
$6 today.
The all-meat chili bowl.
That's right.
Oh, fair enough. That'd be a good thing. And to the people in the control room, we'll see you after the news.
After the news.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
The Ron Burgundy podcast is coming to iHeartRadio this Thursday.
Cue scary music. This is our initial launch into the podcast space, and I want to welcome you to this journey we are about to take together.
We're not sure what kind of journey Ron will take you on, but we are sure it's a must-listen.
I'll never correct you on that statement.
The Ron Burgundy Podcast premieres this Thursday on the iHeartRadio app. Your music, your stations, your podcasts, always free.
iHeartRadio.